It is always a little sad when we come to the end of a study, but it's also, you feel like you've accomplished something as you've, plumbed the depths and mined, and really gleaned what God has for us in a particular study. And, Ephesians is one of those studies. There's just so much, so many good things in this book. And, so again, as you know, we started in January. And we've been working our way verse by verse through the book of Ephesians, and we know that it's laid out very, very simply. The early chapters, chapters 1, 2, and 3, talk about who we are in Christ and what we have in Him. And we talk about, again and again, it talks about in Him we have these riches. And the riches are obviously the salvation that we have through Jesus. It is by grace you are saved through faith and not of works, so that no one can boast. But also in the here and now, in everyday life, we have the promised Holy Spirit. He has been given to us as a down payment on our salvation. And in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And then we read in chapter 2 about this great thing that He's doing. This is along about the end of that chapter. How He's bringing together groups of people. Some who are far from God are being brought near. Of course, in that time, He's talking about Jew and Gentile. And He's talking about how God is doing this marvelous work in His church. The tapestry of the church. People that God is bringing together. And I hope that you're thankful that you're part of a body of people that are not like you. That are very different than you. From different ages and backgrounds and maybe ethnicities, and we're different, but we're brought together by our common faith. And then that's just part of the mystery. You know, you're in on a mystery. There's a great mystery that a lot of people have no idea about, and that's in chapter 3. And the mystery is that God is bringing all of this about, and He's doing it through Jesus, through the work of Jesus on the cross. And here's another mystery. Remember how we talked about this back in chapter 3? It's not just for us, obviously it's for God's glory, but it's even for the angels in heaven. The angels are amazed at what God is doing through Jesus Christ through our lives. And so therefore, we are part of a church, and we have a responsibility to walk worthy of our calling. And so we talked about in chapter 4 how God gave gifts to men and to women, by the way. And so we have different spiritual gifts, and they all work together. And we come together as one body, even though we're gifted differently. And so He gave some as apostles and prophets and some as pastors and teachers to build up the body of Christ so that we could all grow together to be mature and we could be the household of faith, as we read at the end of that chapter. So just so many great things. So again, then we get to chapter 4, 5, and 6, and we see how we live that out. And we live it out by walking worthy. And by imitating our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we are to live worthy of what we've been called to in our daily lives. And that plays out in our marriages. Remember that the passage on marriage in Ephesians chapter 5. And so husbands are to love their wives and wives are to love their husbands and respect their husbands. And we talked about how that plays out and why God has arranged it that way. Go back and listen to it if you want to hear more about that. Then we talked about how that plays out in our relationships with our families, with our children, and with our parents, and how we are to love and respect one another. And then how it plays out in our jobs, in our workplace. We have a responsibility in our workplace, how we work, how we manage others, how we own and run our businesses. And so again, we are to show and reflect the glory of God in our daily lives. And then we got to chapter 6. And we got to this part where it's almost like it's not an afterthought, but it's Paul is making it clear this is his final remarks in the letter. And he says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. And it's kind of a jolt. You read that and you think, oh my, we've got these high-minded things. Man, I'm living for my family. I'm living for Jesus. I'm walking worthy of the call. And then he says, wait a minute. You need to watch out. You've got a very real enemy who's coming against you. And the enemy is not someone of flesh and blood. It's not another man or woman. It's not some human. It's a spiritual power. It's a spiritual principality, a dark force of evil. And so we talked about this spiritual realm that's going on around us. And so we have a very real enemy named Satan. And so he's giving us information how we can be ready for what Satan is going to throw at us. because Satan can't steal our salvation, but he can destroy our effectiveness as a believer, and he can hinder us. He can destroy our joy. And so we've got to put on the full armor of God. And so we talked about the different armor pieces and how we're not fighting the devil per se. It's more like we're letting God arm us with what we need, how we need to think, what we need to believe, so that we can stand strong against the fiery darts of the enemy. Because what we're doing, Christ has won the victory. We don't want to give up any ground. We don't want Satan to take back territory on us. And so we have armed ourselves so we can stand strong against the devil. And so he gave us specific information about that that we looked at the last time we were together. The battle is spiritual. We've got to know how to win a spiritual war. And then we stopped in verse 18. We talked about prayer. We talked about a belt, a breastplate, shoes, and a shield, and a helmet, and a sword, which the sword is the word of God. But I stopped and paused at prayer, and I told you the last time that we need to spend a whole sermon talking about prayer. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because if we're going to be victorious in this spiritual journey, we've got to know how to prevail in prayer, how to be strong in prayer, how to utilize prayer as a spiritual tool, a weapon, something God has given us so that we can be victorious in this battle against the devil. And so again, we see that armor and weapons are important, but we see that prayer is also vital in this battle that we face against the enemy. So hopefully you're in chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 18, pick up in verse 18 and read all the way through the end of the chapter, verse 24. And we're going to talk about tonight how to prevail in prayer. Paul writes, "Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert." So pray at all times and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. We've seen that before, haven't we? In Philippians and other places, he talks, this is a prison epistle, a prison letter. He's writing it while he's under arrest. And so once again, he's making it known that he's not just a prisoner under arrest. He's an ambassador in chains. God has sovereignly put him there as a prisoner so he can do what? He can share the gospel. He can share his faith. Listen, it's not an accident where you are today. You may not like where you are. You may not like your situation, but there's an opportunity in the midst of that. God will use you if you'll surrender to him and let him use you. So he's an ambassador in chains. I like that in verse 20. So therefore, he says, pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Then here's this one of these Greek names that's so hard to pronounce. Verse 21, Tychicus, our dearly loved brother, probably the man who delivered this letter, and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me, so that you may be informed. Don't you love how Paul continued to stay in touch with his churches? Paul was never at a church for very long. I think his longest stint was about 3 years, and I think it was in Ephesus. But even that, 3 years isn't a very long time, but he continued to stay in touch with people that he loved. And that's just a beautiful thing I see when I read the New Testament letters. So he says, I am sending him to you for this very reason, to let you know how we are and to encourage your hearts. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we have looked at your word together tonight. Now please help me to preach your word. Holy Spirit, would you anoint me and speak through me, and may it not just be my words, may your word come through to your people whom you love so much. Lord, I pray that we would learn about prayer tonight, and maybe other things too that you want to teach us through the Spirit, but especially how we can prevail in prayer, how we can be strong and mighty in our daily lives, and prayer is a part of that. Indeed, we've got to think the right way. We've got to guard ourselves and put on this armor. But Lord, we've got to utilize prayer. A prayerless Christian is a defeated Christian. And so help us to grow. Really, there's not a person here, myself included, that doesn't feel like and know that they need to grow in prayer. We all need to grow in our prayer lives. So help us to learn tonight. Teach us, Holy Spirit. We welcome you here. We want to hear from you and we want to learn from you. Guide us into all the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I think sometimes we don't stop to think about all that we have in prayer. You know, we talked about how God has gifted us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms and how we have these wonderful riches. And sometimes we think about that in material things, or we think about possessions we have or connections we have. Well, what we have that is so powerful is prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is amazing. I think it was R.A. Torrey. I love this quote. He said one time, prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. Think about that for a moment. You have God's power, God's storehouses of riches available to you through prayer. And again, I don't understand all the nuances of that. I know probably you don't either. None of us do. Because we know that God is sovereign. We don't always know how God is working in situations. But I do know this. The Bible encourages me to pray. The Bible encourages you to pray. And the Bible promises that if we pray, if we keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking, we will uncover something that we wouldn't otherwise have. We will know the power of God and we will have the presence of God, and God will move and act in a great and powerful way. I like what Dr. Dave Early said. He said, if I could give you anything to set you up for effectiveness in life and effectiveness in ministry, I would give you the gift of a strong prayer life. He said, if you want to maximize your impact, prioritize your prayer life. He says, through prayer, you can accompany any missionary to the remotest places on the earth. You can walk through crowded bazaars, minister in streaming jungles, feed millions of starving men, women, and children, hungry for bread for their bodies and for the bread of life. Prayer is powerful, and prayer is powerful in an individual aspect and in a corporate aspect. A praying church is a powerful church. I believe it was Jim Elliot who said, the saint or the church who advances on its knees never retreats. And so we need to grow in prayer. I want to grow in prayer. And so what you need to know about Paul is that he was a prayer warrior. He was a mighty servant of God, but he was a prayer warrior. We've already seen this on display. Remember back in chapter 3, in verse 16, he writes out a prayer. Now, can you imagine? He's writing this letter. And he's talking about something totally different than prayer. And all of a sudden he starts to pray. And he's writing it out. The Holy Spirit inspired him to do that. Isn't that amazing? Could you imagine? I don't know if you've ever gotten a letter from somebody. Not that that would be an inspired letter. And that person was writing and giving you practical information. And all of a sudden they just started writing out a prayer for you. I don't think that's ever happened for me. But that's what the Spirit led Paul to do for these people. And so this wasn't a garden variety prayer. You see it up there now on the screen. Pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened in the inner man through the Spirit. And you can read on through that. I won't take time. I preached on that a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. But we need to be mighty in prayer. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to break down verses 18, 19, and 20. That really helps us to understand how we prevail in prayer. I need to grow in that area. You need to grow in that area. Because prayer is the vehicle that unleashes the power of God. If we want the power of God in our lives, in this church, in our world, in our nation, then we've got to unleash the power of prayer. You know, I think about Satan. Satan is not afraid of me right now. He's not afraid or fear, does he fear prayerless preachers. Now, I did pray actually before I came up here. That didn't come out like I meant for it to. He doesn't fear prayerless teachers. He doesn't fear prayerless saints or prayerless worship leaders. He fears our prayers. He's afraid when we're on our knees, when we're asking and begging the Lord to come on our behalf and work on our behalf. You know, I said before last week or whenever I preached on the putting on the armor of God, there are some people that have this misconception that we as Christians have to fight the devil. I'm going to call out the devil. You know, nowhere does the Bible say we're to speak to the devil. The archangel Michael didn't speak to the devil. He was reserved in what he said to the devil. What we do is we let the Lord fight our battles for us. And so who do we speak to? We speak to the Lord about the devil. We speak to the Lord about the devil's schemes that he has against us. And so that's what Paul is teaching us here. Here's something that you need to know. Satan fears the weakest Christian on his or her knees. So you could be a preacher of a church and not be much of a prayer. And Satan is more afraid of that weakest Christian out there who's on their knees before the Lord. That's why there's power in being intercessory prayer warriors. Some people tell me, they'll say sometimes, maybe they're in a nursing home or a care center. Well, my health isn't very good anymore. I'm really not of much use to the church. I say, oh, no, no, no. You are of great use because you have time. And you can use that time wisely to be a prayer warrior. And you can pray and move mountains. You can do mighty things through your prayers. Because, again, the effective prayer of a righteous person avails much or is very powerful and effective. So with that having said, been said, Paul fittingly concludes his letter with a word about prayer, prevailing in prayer. And so we're going to discover what I believe are four ways that we can prevail in prayer just by working through this text tonight, expositing, going verse by verse through verses 18 and 19 and into verse 20. So if you're taking notes, you can write these things down at this time. Number one, we prevail in prayer when we pray continuously. When we pray continuously. We need to have an attitude or a habit or a lifestyle of prayer. Again, I've seen this so much better than myself on the mission field, where people really know that they, if God doesn't show up, they're sunk. You know, we have all these resources here. And we feel like, well, I've got this and that and the other. And sometimes prayer is our last resource. We don't think about it until we've had every other thing exhausted. We need to think about that first. We need to go to God first. He needs to be our first response, not our last resort. So the Bible says here, Paul says here, pray at all times with every prayer and request. And I'm trying to do a better job of fostering a climate of prayer. You know what? If somebody comes to me, and I know sometimes after a church service, it's crowded out there, people want to talk to me. But if somebody wants to pray, we'll just a lot of times, we'll stop right then and we'll pray. And we ought to do that out in public too. If you've got somebody you come up to and you're working with somebody, you know, I know sometimes that takes boldness, but you ought to just stop and pray for them. Again, we've got to live a lifestyle or an attitude of prayer. And that's what Jesus did. Did you know Jesus lived that way? The disciples would watch Jesus every day as he walked on this earth, and he prayed in the morning, he prayed in the afternoon, and he prayed in the evenings, and they weren't just rote, canned prayers. These were prayers that had life in them. After all, those disciples who were men, who were godly men, God-fearing men, had grown up with prayer, asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Show us, Lord. And so he did. He modeled for them all the time. Now listen to me. If Jesus, the Son of God, felt the need to pray at all times, how can we do any less? Why do we think we can get by without it? It was a daily part of his life. And yet we think we can ignore it or we can avoid it. Maybe we need to take time to follow Paul's reminder in this passage. Write this down as a bullet point. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've accomplished. If we're prayerless, we're powerless. You see, when you pray, what you're doing, no matter who you are, is you're putting your dependence on God. And we like to be independent, right? In fact, in just about a month, just about a month away, I guess a month from today, we're going to celebrate Independence Day. And I love the freedoms we enjoy. I love the fact that we can be independent as Americans. But listen, while we're maybe independent in our society, we need to be dependent on God daily. We need to depend on Him for everything because He's the provider of everything. You see, when you don't do that, you're depending on something else. Yourself, your skill, your ability, your resources, your power. And where do you think that's going to get you? It might get you a ways, but it's not going to get you near as far as God's power. And so we walk in God's power. That's what Paul is talking about here. your own abilities aren't going to get you nearly as far as God's going to get you. So we pray continually. Now that doesn't mean that you don't carry on your job. That doesn't mean that you don't converse with people and you conduct and do. Matter of fact, we're told to be witnesses. So at the very least, we're to talk to people about Jesus. So it doesn't mean we're constantly mouthing or speaking these prayers 24/7. What it means is that we have an attitude of prayer, that we're carrying on a continual conversation with God as the day goes on. And while there may be a time where there's silence or you're taking care of something else, we can go right back into that conversation anytime we need to. God, in His sovereignty, is always available for us. He will always listen to us. He will always be there for us when we need to speak to Him. That's why our prayer life needs to be more than just a quiet time in the morning. Now, I'm not against quiet times. In fact, I do one just about every morning. And I hope that you will too. I hope you spend that time. There's not a better way to get your day started. But if that's all you're doing, that's not enough. The Bible says to pray unceasingly in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's not like we just pray for a little while in the morning. We've got it all settled. I've talked to God now, so I can go on and live the rest of my day. No, that's not the attitude Paul has here. We need to have an attitude of prayer. Prayer needs to be like breathing. Inhale and exhale. It's just part of your life all throughout the day. And again, we pray specifically. Pray specifically. That's not a bullet point, but it's a good thing to think about. Sometimes our prayers are so general. We don't know if God's answered them or not. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this food. Thank you for people. Help the people around me today. Help me today. Just help me live my life. I don't know if that prayer was answered or not. That was too general. God wants to be close to us. He wants to have intimate fellowship with us. And so we've got to get specific with our prayer requests. By the way, God does answer prayer. And if you'll get more specific, you'll see what an awesome provider He is. Again, I've told you about George Mueller and all those prayer requests, specific requests that He answered for Mueller. Not because Mueller was any greater than any of you in this room, because Mueller had an intimate relationship with the Father, and he walked with Him daily. Prayer was constantly a part of his life. And so a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. So whoever you are, you need to pray regularly. Second, now write this down too. This is really, really important. Prayer is the difference between winning and losing life's battles. Prayer is the difference. That's what Paul is teaching here. So again, go back to verse 10. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can what? So that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. And he names all this equipment, but then he says, and stand strong. Think about the contrast. And pray at all times. Stand strong in prayer. And so prayer, your prayer life, could be the difference between winning and losing a battle in this life. And again, not to get personal, some of you, you may have a besetting sin. You may have a stronghold in your life and you're embarrassed about it. You'd be horrified for anybody in this church to know about it. You know what the answer is to it? Prayer. Prayer. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:13 is talking about, how you can, God will make a way of escape, but you're not going to see that way of escape if you're not in an intimate relationship with Him. Prayer is how you're going to see a breakthrough in your family. It's how you're going to see a breakthrough with that person who's lost. And there, I'm going to say more about that later, about how we should be persistent in prayer. But again, it's the difference between winning and losing life's battle. And the Bible talks about all kinds of postures. I've got to mention this too as I teach through this. It talks about how we pray sometimes standing or kneeling or laying down or exercising or driving or with our eyes open or eyes shut. Do you know that nowhere in the Bible, I couldn't find it anywhere, I looked. It doesn't say that you're to bow your head and close your eyes. Although I think we should do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's not a particular posture of prayer. Why? Why is there not a particular posture? Because it's not a rote exercise. It's a daily part of your lifestyle. It's just the ebb and flow of everyday life, talking to your Father. He is your Savior. He's your Father. We have a relationship with Creator God. So 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. First of all, I urge you that petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone. A little farther down in that verse, in verse 8, he says, I want men in every place to pray. That's why we read in the Bible that Daniel prayed in a lion's den. Jonah prayed in a whale's belly. Moses prayed in the desert. David prayed in a cave. Peter prayed on the water when he was sinking. And by the way, a pretty good prayer a lot of times in our lives is help. Help, Lord, I need your help. So we need all kinds of prayers because Satan is on the move. And he's hurling these fiery darts at us because he wants to defeat us. We're his target. If you're a believer, you're his target. I'm certainly his target as a pastor. He wants to defeat us. And so that's why we need to suit up, put on the armor of God and pray, pray, pray. We prevail in prayer when we pray continuously. But there's a second thing I want you to see in this passage tonight. We prevail in prayer when we pray powerfully. When we pray powerfully. And the reason I'm using this word is because I want to clear up some misconceptions. What is it that makes prayer powerful? Is it the words we say? Oh, our Father, the these and the thys and the thous and all these big words like, words that I don't even totally understand, like maybe justification or sanctification or maybe, just all kinds of words that are out there. It's not really about those words. That's not what makes prayer powerful. Okay, maybe it's your position. Maybe I need to get connected with a really well-known pastor. Maybe I need to know somebody who's really high up in our denomination or in our association, and that'll give me power in prayer. Well, hey, you need a prayer partner. You need somebody in your life to pray along with you. There's no question two are better than one, but that's not what gives you power in prayer. Do you know what gives you power in prayer? The Holy Spirit of God in your life. That's how you have power. That's where the power comes from. That's where my power comes from. Look at the text again. Pray at all times. How? What does it say there? In the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Well, you say, well, how does that happen? How do I pray in the Spirit? Does that mean I've got to speak in tongues? No, that's not talking about speaking in tongues or speaking in some unknown language. Does that mean I have to be slain in the Spirit? No, that's not talking what it means by being in the Spirit. You know what all that means? It don't make it more complex than it is. It simply means that we pray as people who have been saved by grace through faith. Because what happens when you've been saved by grace through faith? The indwelling Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. So you have the Spirit. You have the Spirit right now if you're saved. So when we pray as a Christian, we pray in the Spirit. That's where the power is. I say that to encourage you. You don't have to know more theology. You don't have to know more big words. You just have to pray in the Spirit. Now, there's a couple of things about this that I want you to know that I believe we see in the Word of God. We pray powerfully when the Holy Spirit is our prayer partner. Our prayer partner. Because I realize that sometimes some of you are thinking right now, well, you don't know me, Pastor, and I do want to pray and I want to get better at it, but I don't know what to say. Sometimes I'm at a loss for words. Sometimes my emotions get the better of me, or sometimes my mind wanders and I don't know that I do a good job. I know you're saying pray in the Spirit and you'll pray powerfully, but I still think I fall short. You know what? You're probably right. I fall short. I'm not all I need to be in my daily prayer life. But again, there's power in praying in the Spirit. Because the Spirit, think of him like this, he's your prayer partner. So what does a prayer partner do? When you have a prayer partner, let's say you have an accountability partner, somebody you pray with, and the two of you are praying. Doesn't that help you? Doesn't that give you strength? When you hear that person praying for you or praying specifically, doesn't that motivate you and encourage you and strengthen and embolden you? Yeah, sure it does. Well, imagine this. Even if you're praying by yourself, you've got the Holy Spirit alongside of you helping you to pray. What a prayer partner. Now, I'm glad to have you guys as my prayer partner. I love to pray with other believers. But I'm really glad that the Spirit is my partner. Because listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the Spirit is talking about having assistance from the Spirit. This is what that passage says. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. How's that for a prayer partner? The Spirit can intercede on a level we can't even imagine. Thank God for the Spirit of God. That's where we're powerful in prayer, when we pray in the Spirit. But there's another aspect to that before I move on, and I want you to think about this second point. Praying in the Spirit means to pray according to the leadership of the Spirit. So again, He's not just helping us to pray, but why did God give us the Holy Spirit? I know He's a down payment on our final salvation, all the promises we're going to get, but what did He come here to do? Well, John 16 talks about He came to convict us, to teach us and guide us in all the truth. So we need to learn to come under the leadership of the Spirit. Remember back in chapter 5, we looked at that. Don't be drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit, we learn to surrender to the Spirit. And so if we're surrendering our daily lives to the Spirit, we ought to be surrendering our prayer lives to the Spirit. We ought to be praying in the Spirit or according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's when your prayer life will really get revolutionized. I don't want to see any hands on this. I don't even want to share any personal stories, but I've got to tell you, when I was a young Christian, a newer Christian, let's say in my teenage years, I prayed a lot of silly prayers. I prayed a lot of prayers. I'm glad God didn't answer them. It would have been the worst thing for me. And you know what it says in the book of James? I think it's in chapter 4 and verse 2. You have not because you ask with the wrong motives. Sometimes my motives were all wrong. So how do I overcome that? Well, you grow as a Christian, but how do you grow? You grow by surrendering the Spirit. The power comes when I learn to pray according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. When I say yes to His will, and His will and His desire become my will and my desires. And then He'll give me the desires of my heart. And you'll see Him do a mighty and a powerful work. So praying in the Spirit means to pray according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We prevail in prayer when we pray powerfully. Third, we prevail in prayer when we pray comprehensively. Comprehensively. That's something else I saw as I was looking just at this passage, just meditating on it and praying about it and breaking it down. So look at it here. Pray at all times, in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance. So I want to focus on this phrase here, with every prayer and request. He's talking about praying comprehensively. He's talking about different types of prayers. Now, we've talked about this before in other messages I've preached, and maybe even in our time when I teach the new members class, but the Bible talks about different kinds of praying, different types of prayers that we ought to be praying. So I want to ask you today, right now, not to put anybody on the spot, but how varied is your prayer life? You know, most people in this world, even non-Christians, know about prayer. But what they think about prayer is they think about petition. Petition is asking God for things we need. And while that's definitely valid, we need that. There's never a time you won't need to petition God. After all, Jesus taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. That just shows me that every day I need bread. I need something from God. You will never reach a point in your life where you've arrived and you don't need anything from God. That goes back to an earlier point I made about being under dependence of God. But if that's all we do, that's the shallowest form of praying. That's not the only kind of prayer that we need to have in our arsenal. So there are different types of prayers that are listed in Scripture. Let me just mention a few of them. There's confession or forgiveness, prayers for forgiveness. There's praise. Sometimes you ought to just be praying a prayer of praise to the Lord, just like we were singing to Him a moment ago. If you don't know what to pray, sing to Him. If you don't know how to sing, then pray the song. Pray the lyrics to the song, but you know how to sing. Praise Him. Give Him thanksgiving for what He's done for you. And then there's intercession and petition. And intercession is part of that, praying for other people. It's not just about us. It's praying for others. So what I'm saying is this. When I read the Bible and I think about praying comprehensively, there's a strategy involved. There's a strategy involved in comprehensive prayer. So just like Satan has a strategy to come against us, to shoot those fiery darts at us, God has a strategy for us in prayer, and it's to pray comprehensively. And so, again, there's different acronyms for that. When I teach the new believers, the new members class, I like to use the acronym ACTS. That's an acronym for different things that we do. We adore God, we confess to God, we give thanksgiving to God, and we give supplication to God. ACTS. I'm sorry I didn't get that written out on the screen tonight, but there's a strategy involved. Again, Petition is not the only kind of praying. There ought to be lots of different kinds of prayers in your arsenal. Everybody does that. You know, a lost person, I'd say there's even atheists or agnostics that will pray a petition prayer to the Lord. What can it hurt, right? Pray for God to help me in this situation. So we need to do more than that. We need to pray these other types of prayers. And then we need just thank Him for saving us. Be grateful for what He's done for us. Take time to observe how He's providing for you and caring for you. Maybe life isn't so great for you right now. Thank Him for what He's going to do in your life. I mean, even if He doesn't do what you want Him to do in this life, He's preparing a place for you in the next life. You're going to be with Him forever in heaven. So thank Him for that and praise Him. And then there's surrender. This is a bullet point. There's surrender involved in comprehensive prayer. So I see that when I see this phrase, stay alert. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert. When I think about stay alert, I always immediately, my mind goes to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus took his disciples with him. He really took three. Man, one day, Lord willing, I would love to stand in that garden and just look and see what it's like in that place in the beautiful country or nation of Israel. But Jesus was there with his disciples, and he had three, Peter, James, and John, and he told them to stay alert and watch and pray. And that's when Jesus prayed some of the most emotional, difficult spiritual prayers of his life. And they were prayers of surrender. Obviously, we know the disciples didn't stay alert. They fell asleep. They could not stay awake. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. But Jesus prayed. And remember what Jesus prayed in the garden there? He prayed, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will be done. So that's a prayer of surrender. And that's what we need to do. There's surrender in comprehensive prayer. This is what Wiersbe said about this. I love Wiersbe as a commentator. He said, the Christian soldier must pray with his eyes open. Watch and pray is God's secret for overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. We should also watch for opportunities to serve Christ. So praying in the Spirit is about surrender. It's about saying, yet not my will, but your will be done. So we learn to pray comprehensively. Then there's number four tonight. We prevail in prayer when we pray persistently. Persistently. That just means we don't give up. Paul goes on to say, look in the passage, with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. We need to persevere in prayer. And I'll just tell you, this is an area where I'm trying to grow in my prayer life. I want to do better at this. I don't persevere like I need to. Some things I do, but there's a lot of things I just give up too soon. I think I miss out on God doing something great because I give up. Matter of fact, I'll just confess to you right now, we've not prayed as a church like we should for spiritual awakening. We've not had that revival yet that we've been praying for in the awakening services, have we? And I'll just confess to you, I've dropped the ball. I've not persisted like I should as the leader of this church, and we're going to start those up again. And I hope you'll be a part of that. Because we want to see revival in our community and in our nation and in our world. But we've got to persist in prayer. The old saints had it right a generation or two before us. They used to talk about praying it through. And I saw that when I was a young boy, when people would come to the altar on a Wednesday night and they would not give up. They wouldn't give up on a lost family member. They wouldn't give up on a person, on a soul. And there was an old saying they used to say, and I've loved this, keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. He'll keep His promise. His word is true. Keep on praying till light breaks through. And so basically what Paul is saying, and when he says here to pray with perseverance, are three things. Don't give up. Don't give in. And don't give out. Don't give up. Don't give in. And don't give out. After all, it says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, so we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. I wonder how many times God is ready to open the floodgates of heaven and we're ready to reap a mighty harvest. And I just give up. I just don't have persistence. I've just thought, well, I guess God's not going to answer that prayer. Our job is to pray in faith. God decides when and how that prayer is going to be answered. I like what David Jeremiah said one time. I heard him preach this message and I've never forgotten it. I wrote it down at that time and I'll read it to you now. God always answers prayers. He delights in answering them. He hears us. But here's the deal. This is what Jeremiah said. If our request is wrong, in other words, it's not best for us, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If the timing and the request are right, God says go. So God is answering your prayer. He's hearing you. He's either saying no, slow, or go. God answers prayer. And the Bible says there'll be a harvest for you and for me if we don't give up. So we need to be like that persistent widow that Jesus taught about in Luke chapter 18. He told them this parable on the need for them to pray always and not become discouraged. Remember how there was an unjust judge? And she would go to that judge and bother him and really pester him, is the right way to put that. And kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. Until she finally wore him down and he said yes. And so he's not saying he's an unrighteous judge, but he's saying keep on coming, keep asking and keep knocking. And Jesus said in verse 7, will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay to help them? I tell you, verse 8, he will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find that kind of faith on earth? That's the question. Are we persisting in prayer? Then the fifth and final thing, and this is how Paul closes the letter. We prevail in prayer when we pray for each other. When we pray for each other. That's what brings us together in unity. Now, well, I shouldn't, that's not the only thing that brings us together. It's our common faith that brings us together. But man, you talk about powerful unity in that koinonia fellowship. A church that prays together stays together. And that's what he's talking about here when he closes it out. He says to pray with intercession for all the saints. And then notice how he says, pray also for me. I'm so thankful I've got a church that prays for me. I know you pray for me, and I hear some of you pray for me. I know you do that in your prayer closet. I need it. Pastors especially need your prayers. Not just me, but Pastor Steve and Pastor Bradley. We need your prayers. Intercession is critical for several reasons. James chapter 5, verse 16. Our prayers for one another are powerful and effective. When I get my eyes off Jesus and I begin to think of others and, or get my eyes off myself and I begin to look to Jesus and reminded to pray for others, God does a mighty and powerful work. The greatest thing that anybody can do for somebody else is pray for them, to intercede for them. That's why Paul says in verse 19, pray also for me. You know, sometimes we think about Paul, we think about him like he's some super strong guy, like the $6 million man. I gotta go back to my childhood. I don't know whoever the Hulk or whoever the action figure is today. But he, you know, we think he's this strong guy. He's untouchable. He's super strong. Well, he was a strong man, but he still says, I need your prayers. The devil's after me. And so we know that Paul still needed prayer because Satan will use any opportunity to weaken, to hurt, to hinder, to discredit God's men who are trying to share the full counsel of God's word, trying to preach the word of God, try to equip the saints like we read about in chapter 4 for the work of ministry. So please pray for me. And I'm not trying to be self-serving, but I think it's important because he talks about praying for pastors. If you want to pray for me, notice how Paul doesn't ask for you to pray selfishly. Don't pray for me selfishly. He doesn't ask, will you get me out? Pray that God will get me out of this joint. Break me out of this jail like he did Peter. I'm ready to get out of here. I'm ready to plant another church. No, he didn't pray selfishly. He prayed rather for continued boldness, that he'd be bold in his circumstances, that he would do what God had asked him to do. So pray for us when we preach the gospel. You know what? Sometimes the devil discourages us. Sometimes the devil tries to frighten us or come against us. He wants to intimidate us. And so pray that I'll be bold. Pray that I'll be a good witness. Pray that I'll have a broken heart for people that need Jesus. You know, sometimes pastors get calloused about that and they stop pursuing the main thing. Pray that I'll preach and lead in the power of God. Pray that I'll walk with integrity. Pray that I'll live out what I preach on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings. Pray that I'll have the right heart for things. Pray that I'll be a good leader, that I'll make good decisions. And for most, probably more important than anything else, pray for my family. Often what Satan will do is he will target a family member. He might come at the pastor, but he'll come at the pastor's family. Pray for my kids. Pray for peace in my home. Pray for protection from spiritual attack. I need your prayers. But listen, we need prayers for one another. Don't just pray for me. Pray for each other. Come on Wednesday night. We've got something really special happening. This prayer time is really, really wonderful when we pray in small groups. I don't know about you, but I love it. I look forward to every Wednesday night. God is looking for people, this is my summary statement, to be prayer warriors who will stand in the gap like Ezekiel says to do. We need people in our church who will be serious about prayer for themselves and for one another and for our church and for our nation. When I think about prayer and I think about what Paul is saying here, I think about the motto of the Navy SEALs. Remember we sang just last week, we sang the song about the different branches of the military. Do you know they have a motto? The Navy SEALs' motto is the mission is not complete until the last SEAL comes home. Folks, the mission of prayer is not complete until the last saint has come home. So let's keep on praying till light breaks through. Let me give you, we're in a war together, but one day we're going to be brought home together to be with the Lord. Leonard Ravenhill, great man of prayer. I'll close with the words of Leonard Ravenhill. The church has many organizers, but few agonizers. Many who pay, but few who pray. Many resters, but few wrestlers. Many who are enterprising, but few who are interceding. Let's be the exception to the rule of Hillcrest. Let's be people who will labor in prayer for one another as we fight against the devil. Let's bow our heads now and close in prayer. Thank you for listening well. Lord, I thank you for these wonderful words that Paul has given us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit at the end of the letter to the church at Ephesus. Lord, we are reminded once again how critical and crucial prayer is to successfully fighting the good fight of faith. And we don't fight for victory. Thank you, Jesus, for winning that victory for us. We fight from victory, but we still have battles to be fought because we have a very real enemy, a spiritual enemy who is against us. He's against our message. He's against our salvation. He's against these divine appointments that you have set up for us so that we can minister to people and see them one for the kingdom and one for your glory. He's simply against us. He hates us because he hates you. So help us to stand strong. Help us to grow in our prayer lives. Help us to recognize that when we pray, that as Christians, we pray in the Spirit. We can pray powerfully because you're helping us. Help us to be varied in our prayer lives. Help us to pray not just prayers of petition, but all kinds of prayers for all kinds of situations. May it be a daily part of our lives, and may we always be faithful to pray for one another. There's power in prayer. Thank you for this wonderful way that you've given us to relate to you, and to hear from you, and to receive from you. Most important of all, we're thankful that we can receive from you the gift of grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. If there's anybody here tonight or somebody watching online who does not know Christ as Savior, just speak to their heart right now, Lord Jesus. Draw them, Holy Spirit. I pray that they wouldn't leave here without repenting and believing and making Jesus their Lord and their Savior. In Jesus' name I pray this prayer. Amen.